That's again Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media, where we are the voices of America. Although, after reading the research that you put together, Douglas, about electricity and 5G, I'm wondering if we're even going to have a future as a planet. This article has just filled with so many red pills, and they all need to be swallowed. We got to get real and look what's really going on. You wrote this. I've got the article. You've done a summary. And now you're going to explain to us what is this report all about.
As you know, because you've been right there along with me in the research, there was a group of people who some years ago started studying a guy named Paul Imbersen, who wrote a book called From Jundishapur to Silicon Valley. Very hard book to get a hold of. And then there have been recently other anthroposophists who wrote books. For instance, Nicanor Perlas has written Humanity's Last Stand. Jeremy Nadler has written In the Shadow of the Machine. And there have been other books that have been written trying to explain the phenomena of electricity and what it has to do with our future and whether or not it's good or bad for us. Now, what arose out of this is a group that is studying online these kind of things with a friend of mine, and I support their work because we must grapple with the questions of what will come of electricity. Now, we have written both on the Neoanthroposophy site, the Our Spirit site, and also just in terms of Anonymous Patriots, numerous intelligence reports and articles showing the dangers of these things, especially cell phones, computers. And we've given antidotes, or at least the ones that are out there that we know of. So we've done our part, and I don't even know how many articles and videos you've put together in this presentation here. But the reality is, I didn't know that we hadn't covered anything. But people kept saying, what about the invisible rainbow? Arthur Furstenberg's book. It's called The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. Furstenberg. So I'll be referring to him, Furstenberg, again and again here. And I said, well, okay, what the heck? It's, you know, 550-page book. I'm a little reluctant to spend, you know, weeks studying something.
No, but this is why it's so important for you to read this, because you have the ability to read it, comprehend it, and then to give it back out to us so that we know what it's about. Thank you so much.
Especially since Furstenberg does tap into a little bit of what the anthroposophists know, as well as what Pollock knows about structured water and everything about electricity in relationship to the body's electric body, you know, how it works. And with all the electrical terms and all the measurements and all the charts and diagrams, and the book has 200 pages of notes and references, so that everything that is being talked about in terms of research or anecdotal presentations that demonstrate that as electricity came into our life, so did the exacerbation of illnesses of heart disease, cancer, and many other diseases, leukemia. And so what he's pointing out here is electricity does something in the body that I had to this point only heard people speculate about. But in this book, he gives you the exact breakdown of why the bioelectric energy of cellular respiration or human respiration through their lungs is in fact harmed by exposure to all forms of electricity, not just electric wires and not just electromagnetic frequencies and microwave frequencies and 5G millimeter wave frequencies. It's all of it. It's a combination of everything that's been going on since the late 1700s when electricity was discovered and they were able to capture it in a Leyden jar, or, you know, like Benjamin Franklin put up a kite with a silk string and then he brought charges from the sky into a Leyden jar. And then they would do things back in those days because they didn't know what electricity was that were absolute experimentation, crazy experimentation. And they actually believed that any type of electricity going through your body was a good thing. Sometimes they gave you large voltages of electricity going through your body, sometimes very small. But they also did this with plants and animals, and they started the research on electricity very seriously in the early 1800s. This I did not know. Now, the very beginnings of electricity, I would like to have addressed by someone who is really looking at the true symptomological causes of electricity. And, you know, you can look at Tesla or you can Westinghouse or Edison, and you have to ask the question, you know, who are these giants of electricity that have basically turned our world into a soup of electromagnetic frequencies, as many as 10 million of them going through your body at any one second. So Furstenberg does a great job pointing out that illnesses, especially influenza or the flu or flu pandemics, are directly connected to when telegraphy started, when landlines were laid for electricity, when wireless was started, when radar was started, when satellites went into the sky, which were beaming down electromagnetic frequencies, even HARP. And anytime these things were advancements in the field of electronics, illnesses arose. And they literally arose so directly, with all the anecdotal representation he has in here and all the research and the history, it is impossible not to understand that electricity harms us. Now, some would claim that there are also good things that electricity does. They do studies on mice where they bombard them with low-level gamma waves or rays or radio frequency waves or X-rays at a very low frequency, low voltage. And what happens? The mice live longer, 50% longer. But when they die, they're filled with tumors and horrible illnesses. So it sounds like the research at first was going to tell us that electricity just kills you. But then it says that all electricity injures everyone. It's just whether you're sensitive to it or not. And then the question becomes, can you adapt and deal with living a lack of quality life because of the injuries induced by your sensitivity to electromagnetism? Or if you can do that, then you live longer. That's what the statistics say. And he's a big statistics guy, big into research. And I really appreciate that because I like to see some evidence. But I love the anecdotal evidence where he goes into the lives of most of the people who did the early electrical work. And they died of diabetes in an age when diabetes was almost unheard of. Or they die of cancer when people didn't even know basically what it was. So you can see by the biographical information also and the anecdotal information presented that electricity, we have to stand back and take a very serious look about whether or not it gives us life or it gives us death.
So as I'm reading this research that you've summarized so beautifully for us, thank you. And I'm thinking about all the other research pieces we've done over these years. I walk away looking at it going, well, is this part of the Cecil Rhodes plan of the total takeover of the world? Because electricity was introduced about that time, about 200 years ago. And now look at where we are today. We're looking at this flu pandemic, so to speak, all across the world. We're seeing 5G everywhere, satellites, towers. We're seeing that the face masks are really about compliance and control for the governments. I mean, all of it together tells me that the whoever these people are have a total lockdown on the planet and plan on, they're implementing it right now.
Absolutely. And it's the Brits. And we know this because it was the British who stole Tesla's patents and gave them to Marconi. And then Marconi, you know, he did a lot of work. And in the book, it goes through his life, his biography, and shows that he had 10 heart attacks. Why? Because he lived right underneath one of the biggest broadcasting towers, the biggest in the world at that time. His first wife died of cancer. His second wife died. Everybody around him, everybody who was doing the work with him was in that dirty electricity field, as well as right underneath a broadcasting radio frequency tower. And it causes illness. It causes heart disease. He had 10 heart attacks. It causes diabetes because it stops the cells from being able to be nourished because of a lack of the ability to take up oxygen. And that is the beauty. I could get into the great details. He gives the exact details of what many people have come to in terms of understanding diabetes, cancer, and heart disease, but they never added the hidden, invisible rainbow of electricity that is probably at the source of a lot of the great numbers of illness and death that come from these diseases.
You know, there have been so many audios that we have done, and one of them, we were looking at the different transitions during the epochs that would be called apocalypse moments. And we look at Lemuria, and we look at the fire, and we look at the Atlantean period, and we see the Great Flood. And you pointed out that the next cataclysm, apocalypse, would be that of air. Is that what we're seeing here, Douglas?
Yes, you know, and most of us thought, myself included, that it was mostly a reference to the bad quality of air. But now that we see that electricity causes you not to be able to take up oxygen, in other words, it is attacking you through the air. You can't have an effective system of respiration because of, well, what happens is it attacks certain metals that are needed in an enzyme reaction with porphyrin. And porphyrin, which is the basis of HEMA, which is hemoglobin or chlorophyll in the plants, is the substance that can take up through iron oxygen to give us our respiration, both in every single living cell as well as in our lungs. And this is harmed. It is, in fact, slowed down, and it has been shown in many, 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 many studies. Matter of fact, almost all the studies about these things are from people who are ill, people who have electrohypersensitivity, who are trying to figure these things out. And there are no studies done by the corporations that proliferate these deadly electrical machines, electronics that pervade every single aspect of our life. We are swimming in this fog.
Of course, you're not going to find that, because they know that this is a weapon against humanity. And before the rest of us knew it, they went in and made sure that there were laws passed that you couldn't question the 5G tower that's going on top of your school, because to question it, they would lose all their funding. So they had a grand plan, and they already closed the exit door, so to speak, in order to march us through this gate of global genocide. And let me also remind our audience, remember that time when we were investigating Pirbright, you know, the home of the coronavirus patent where the Queen of England holds the golden share? When we were looking at that closely, we said, well, what is this that's associated with Pirbright, this COVID Earth Satellite Center? And we saw all the satellites, and we were saying, well, what do satellites have to do with the coronavirus? Well, I'm glad we went that path, because now we're finding out they're all related.
Quite so. And it was General Sarnoff, who was basically a traitor to America, who worked with the Brits, especially in founding our intelligence agencies, who then became Marconi's American representative through RCA and brought over broadcasting, wireless broadcasting and radio broadcasting to America, and made a fortune off of it through RCA and many other companies. Well, General Sarnoff used to believe and say, and had there were actually pictures of this, that these towers that were radiating these radio frequencies were death towers. They were death rays. So from the beginning, they knew exactly what it was doing, because they saw the people who were experimenting with it dying with horrible illnesses that basically barely existed in any other environment. And then you can see that Sarnoff, who was a general, thought that he was bringing over a weapon to take over America. And that doesn't count the behavioral modification through brainwashing and so on and so forth. Let's just look at 5G. Now, Furstenberg doesn't really go into a lot of the modern research, though he does make reference to it. And then you can look it up in his notes. But there's a great deal of research out there, hundreds of research projects showing that 5G harms humans. I mean, radically, radically. I mean, you can't even believe it. It's like the research on GMOs showing that after a few generations, pigs are no longer fertile. They can no longer reproduce, just like when you're creating a seed that can't reproduce itself, that it doesn't create any viable seed. That's what we're doing here. We are attacking the seeds. So 5G attacks the eggs of females in their ovaries. It attacks Well, basically, it stops fertility, okay? And anyone who doesn't have a very strong system, basically, they're stopping you from being able to seed. Now, how do they measure that? The Federal Communication Commission, just all they do is they give out bandwidths, and they allow people to broadcast on certain bandwidths. That's it. They don't do any research. There was no research done on 5G, none, zero. Not one spec, and these are in testimonies before the Congress. They state not one single spec of research.
They're going to be upset because when they hear this, they remember Donald Trump saying 5G, 6G, yeah, he's all about the 5Gs. And so we can either conclude that he full well knows about 5G and he's just playing the liberals, or he is being ill-advised by people on his staff, probably senior executive service people who are in on it with all the other crown agents that run with the queen trying to take over America and overthrow our president. So what's up with Donald Trump and his promotion of 5G?
Well, if he asks the people who he has appointed in some cases to the heads of these agencies, they ask their senior executive service members who run the agencies, and they tell them lies. The Federal Communication Commission says there's no problem with 5G. We've done studies, and it does not burn the skin. We get people right up next to it, and guess what? It doesn't burn the skin. It leaves no bubbles. It can sometimes make the skin red, but it leaves no second-degree burn marks. That is really silly, seeing that microwave, the real carrier of these higher frequency waves, as well as milliwaves for 5G, go right through your body and they cook you from the inside out, just like microwave cooks your food from the inside out. It basically cooks up the water molecules in your body. Well, they know this to be true. So you could have the FCC looking at the body of a person who's just been exposed to microwave and they say, look, there's no burn marks. But later, when they look in the body of that person in an autopsy, they may find that their organs are all shriveled up because they have been microwaved for a long time. So the research shows the closer you are to a cell tower or to microwave transmitters, the more likely you are, anywhere from 15 to 30% more likely to have cancer, diabetes, and heart disease.
Yeah, but they already know that there's a relationship between a virus and this electricity, and it gets more intense, that relationship, when you throw in a mix of 5G. So then you run a scare that everybody's coming down with the coronavirus, and the only solution is the vaccine, which is nothing more than a Bill Gates poison to put in your body to either kill you now or later. And our research also shows that in those vaccines, along with the 5G, they can trigger things. What are those things? Those nanobots that are in there. It just that was done by that Harvard professor, Dr. Lieber. Gosh, I hope they put him away for a long time. I mean, this is just evil stuff. They are trying to take us out, people of the world. Listen to Betsy. This is global genocide. You have got to do everything you can. Those face masks, you must resist them as though your life depends on it, because that's the first step. And then the next step is to get you vaccinated, fearful of the coronavirus, fill up your neighborhood with 5G. And what they've essentially done is they've taken those Auschwitz ovens and they've made them right there in your neighborhood, and they're going to zap every one of us.
And they are. And every neighborhood that has those, of course, has already seen problems, especially when they've mounted them on schools. Children are really, really susceptible to 5G poisoning, radiation poisoning. So are bees. As a matter of fact, if you take a cell phone and you put it into a space with a bee, after 10 minutes, the bee can no longer metabolize foods and starts to have breathing problems. And then if they're too close to a microwave transmitter, of course, whole hives die. We're seeing an absolute, almost extinction level death of the bees. And if that happens, who's going to pollinate the plants? How are we going to have any life? So life is all interconnected. And what they're showing is that the mitochondrial DNA, Furstenberg's research, that is, that the mitochondrial DNA and the bioenergetic process is basically being short-circuited by being exposed to electric frequencies. And some people can even hear these frequencies. So it's 70% of Americans have tinnitus, hear ringing in their ear. No, that they're actually hearing radio wave frequencies, microwave frequencies, 5G frequencies. And these are all around us now. Whether you know it or not, your cable probably has a 5G component to it if you're in a house that needs a bigger broad ability to broadcast the signal through the house. So what we're looking at here is the breakdown of life from the beginning. Now, electricity at first was thought to be life because you could apply it to a dead frog's leg and it would jump. And then they found that they could do all this incredible experimentation. So they captured a little electricity through their electrostatic spark devices, put it in Leyden jars and put it in battery piles. And then they started having 50 people hold hands and then shooting electricity through all of them. And this was a revelation to these people because it was the closest thing they saw in their life to an invisible power that might be the power behind the cosmos. Now, this is where it went south. The person who actually came up with these ideas was Anton Mesmer. And Furstenberg doesn't mention this in his book, but it's really the key factor. Benjamin Franklin came along later and said Anton Mesmer's form of basically orgone energy or bioelectric energy based upon silica and silica discharges through piezoelectric generators should have been the electricity of our age, a bioelectric energy. But no, Benjamin Franklin and the Royal Society, the British Royal Society, condemned Anton Mesmer, saying his animal magnetism was completely wrong. Well, it wasn't completely wrong. And Furstenberg is incorrect that that there are no uses in the early days for piezoelectric energy. They now know the human body runs in piezoelectric energy, and that our nerves, for instance, constantly, whenever they're being charged, they are emitting infrared. So we have electrical discharges throughout our body. We have many electrical components, but to compare it to just, or to say that it's a bioelectric energy that's all chemical, is incorrect. There are electrical components in the human body as well as in the cosmos. And had we, at the time of Anton Mesmer, actually stopped at that point and said, you know what, this isn't about giving people shocks. This isn't about having the power of a battery so you can do experimentation. It's about the question of what is electricity?
And so after looking at your notes and looking at some videos of Furstenberg, you know, I'm like, we're going to have to build a Faraday cage to live in to stay on the planet. But you can't really, because if they're zapping the bees and the colonies are dying, then they're not going to be able to pollinate the fruits and the vegetables that we're used to. And in the end, the atmosphere is filled with satellites. That's what I want you to talk about next. What are we going to do with these 5G satellites?
The 5G satellites, or satellites in themselves, are the extinction of all of humanity. That's all there is to it. We can barely get them up there, getting them down, not running into each other, not causing accidents, as well as the poisonous emanation of 5G, and it'll be 6G immediately afterwards, from these launch platforms coming down onto the Earth is to try to provide every single square inch of the Earth with absolute high-speed 5G technology, you know, so your phone can run faster, so you can play more games on your iPad, so that you can watch, you know, your devices and let them control your life. Well, that was a military thing that started back in the late 1989, I believe it was, when the first military satellites were put up. As soon as they were, people all over the Earth started complaining about what they call satellite illness. They didn't even know the satellites were up there. But later, as satellites were launched and they were acknowledged as being so, it was the same illness. So as soon as the satellites went up, wherever they ray down their energy, they in fact create horrifying illnesses all over the Earth. And the new technology for 5G called a beamforming can enhance a signal 10 to 100 times. So once you get a signal going, if you're using satellite technology for your phone instead of 5G, which is going to be, you know, every few houses down the block, if you're going to be in a 5G area, you're going to have a satellite within sight of your house. And they are emitting horrifying milliwaves, which are much worse than even microwaves. Well, they have a method called beamforming. If they're on the Earth and you're in a 5G city, as soon as your phone is 5G connected, three different antennas are beaming in on you. And whichever one is the strongest from one second to the next beams right through your head in most cases. So you have beam forming 100 times stronger sometimes than the very frequencies that are allowed in the 5G range. So you have a death machine. And what are they saying? The second that you put a phone to your head, glucose uptake in the brain is immediately affected. And that's true with your rest of your body, but it's very sensitive to the brain because it's so, you know, pseudo-electrified.
And think about all these young people with those devices connected to them. I see them with these things coming out of their ears that are being, you know, what I guess Apple makes them, their wireless headsets. Oh my gosh, you're talking about the beams going right in their tender, sweet little brains.
And we have pointed out all the illnesses, and it is a list as long as your arm, that are caused by cell phones, computers, iPads, and this type of psychological problems that arise from electronic digital devices. Well, in the beginning, the only studies done on electricity were on people who had been inadvertently struck by lightning. And also, for hundreds of years, we had studied sunspots, solar flares, and what are now called coronal mass ejections. And we studied the cycles of the sun so that it has a minimum cycle when there's very few solar flares and sunspots, and then a maximum cycle when there's a great deal of them. Well, they found that at the maximum cycle, when there was a lot of electromagnetic energy coming from the sun, those were the times when flus actually became prevalent. Then they found, after electrification started, that it was no longer connected just to sunspots. So they used to say flus were directly connected to solar cycles, and that any kind of atmospheric electrification that was harmful was probably from the sun. But then when we electrified the physical world with all these electrical poles and wireless and radio propagation and microwave and satellites, it then turned into no longer that flus were created by sunspots and solar flares during a solar maximum. No, now they were 100% directly, literally directly related to the installation of these different layers of the electrification of the Earth. And some people, Rudolf Steiner in particular, spoke about the future of the Earth. And he said that in the future, there would be the extension of the mechanical world, which is really pulling down from the cosmos certain forces and binding them with forces of the Earth. In other words, copper. Copper of the Earth is pulling down and insulating it into these wires, a force that is free in the cosmos, electrostatic energy. We make it electromagnetic energy. He said that this electromagnetic energy, as it was being spread by wires and then later wireless and all the different interconnections, fiber optic and everything else, became a spider brood, a spider web. And that in this spider web, that there would be beings, demons, that wish to incarnate in that spider web as a living spider inside of this non-living, sub-earthly imprisonment of what should be cosmic electricity. And then he described this being as the being he called Ahriman, which is an ancient Persian term used for the god of darkness, the god of the earth. And he said that Ahriman would wish to even incarnate into this realm. So he predicted this, and he also predicted that in the future it would get even worse, and that the electrification of the earth would become so bad that humans would even then begin to manipulate inadvertently the spin of the earth, the rotation of the earth. Well, that is what satellites are going to do. Satellites are creating a mechanical web around the Earth that will destroy our ionosphere. It will destroy all the living aspects of our atmosphere that give us life. it will block certain rays that we need, and it will basically keep us bound to the earth in this spider web. And we, in fact, will be consumed by that spider. Now, that's a scary image, but it's an analogy, but it now has become more like a living nightmare. And it is true that everywhere you look, you have to have above ground wires, which are a spider web network, and that the being that lives in them does not have your health or your best interest at heart. Matter of fact, that being, Ahriman, does not have a heart. Cold, dead mechanics that run the electricity are basically capturing cosmic warmth out of the air through magnetism and binding it to the earth. And that becomes a force that binds the human being to the earth. Now, and even after we die, it makes us stay close to the earth and basically still be controlled by that spider web.
So what do we do about it? Well, the first thing is we have got to vote all red in November. I don't care if it is Lindsey Graham, you hold your nose and vote all red, because once we win, Lindsey Graham's going to have another thing coming, but we want that seat available so that the South Carolina governor can fill it with a MAGA person. I shouldn't say another one. So vote all red. And the reason that's so important, because we have got to get united as Americans so that Donald Trump can do something about this. He knows the lay of the land. He sees what's in front of him. He can't undo all of it all at once. And he has to know that you out there, you have his back. And so we all need to get out there. We're going to go in person. We're going to vote. Now, you and I, we always do absentee ballot, but this election is so important. We're going to march ourselves up there and stand in line for as long as it takes. Hope to see everybody else there. This is not only important to America in the United States. It is important to all humanity, because as America goes, so goes the rest of the world. And then we need to look at this Miller Act notice that we keep talking about here at AIM. But when Douglas and I were doing the research many years ago, we saw that what we thought was the Achilles heel to what we called back then the deep state, but now we realize it's so much bigger. It's the Pilgrim Society. It's the Rothschilds. It's just so big. But we saw that they had stolen some very important technology from Leader. And we need to make that right so that when we write the master agreement with the executive office, and basically it's going to be we the people, because that's who Leader has been standing up for all these years, Michael McKibben and his miners, standing up for what's right and moral for Americans and for all of humanity. But anyway, when that is made right and the people through the executive office get a hold of the master license, then we can start to change things in a dramatic way, not just for Americans, but for people everywhere. For example, you talk about these satellites. Well, these satellite companies need the technology that Michael's company provided that was stolen. And in that master agreement can be rules and regulations about how this can be used. And maybe these satellites or the use of 5G is not permitted at all until long-term studies are done. You can put that flowery language on it, but basically we got to kill 5G before it kills us. That's my parting shot. What is yours, Douglas?
Well, Furstenberg tells us that there's a porphyrin substance in the body that is in every living cell, and that there are two enzymes that help that process work, what's called the Krebs cycle. In other words, the process of getting energy from your food through oxygen and, you know, what causes glucose to be turned into energy. And he says that there are basically what you need to do is, he doesn't say this, but it's implied, that you need to make sure that you have plenty of enzymes, that you eat living food, that you don't let anything electronic touch your body unless it has to, that at night you charge your phone far away from your bed, that you work with all kinds of substances. And if you read our other articles and intelligence reports on this, we tell you what they are. And I don't want to do that now, because then there will be 1,000 questions underneath when you can just go and see. We literally have focused entire intelligence reports on what you can do about it. So there's all kinds of ways to protect yourself. One simple way is to take a piece of stainless steel and keep it on your skin, because that causes the electromagnetic frequencies that are the dirty ones that get caught up on your skin, it'll discharge them. So in other words, keeping yourself grounded. Grounding, putting your feet into the ground.
But I do have to say that if you watch the video that's attached about Furstenberg that I have on the main article, at the very end of the video, he says all that kind of stuff doesn't work, Douglas. I disagree because we have monitored with a meter around our home to see if we have mitigated it, and we have. But he says it doesn't work.
Well, will be my parting comments on his book. But it's not true. If you have some right enzymes, it can help. If you take zinc, it can help you breathe. If you take inositol, that will help. If you take all kinds of different substances for you, but it's you, and it's whether or not you're adapting in your individualized system, how it works with it. Some people can take huge dosages of this stuff and adapt. Others can't take any, and it kills them. So what are we saying? Make sure that you have the very things they say to fight the flu and fight this pandemic, which is zinc and copper and iron, in good forms, organic forms. And then that helps the Krebs cycle with the uptake of energy and oxygen. And then basically what you're exactly right. Furstenberg leaves you with a sense that it's hopeless. And he says the only thing you can do is call him and get in his network, and they'll try to keep you aware of when new satellites are broadcasting in your area, or when the 5G has come to blanket your city or whatever, so that when it happens to you, you can at least know and be conscious of it. But I believe that his book, The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life, should be changed to A History of Electricity and Death.